All right. Well, John chapter number six. We'll begin verse number 60, and we'll read down to verse 69. And I want to speak this morning on the subject of where else can we go? Where else can we go? John chapter number 6, verse number 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered him, we'll just go ahead and read the last two verses as I start there. "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Our text this morning is a great turning point, I think, if you study out the kind of a big view of the earthly ministry of Christ. At the beginning of this chapter, I think, is his high watermark of popularity. At the beginning of John chapter number 6. And you'll read about these multitudes, thousands following him. He feeds them, he feeds 5,000, and most people say that probably, because it says 5,000 men, that there could be 15, 20,000 people with women, with children involved there. But verse number 15 said the people would have revolted against Rome right there and then, and installed Christ as their king. That's pretty popular, if you think about it. That, of course, was not God's will nor Christ's mission. He sends his disciples, you keep reading in chapter 6 there, and he sends his disciples to the other side of the Sea of Galilee in a boat. He preferred to walk. Think about it, you'll get that, okay? The great crowds followed him. From verses 22 through 59, there's a conversation with the people. The people wanted more free bread. Who doesn't like a free meal? But Christ tells them the bigger truth, that he is the true bread of heaven. Verse 51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." He was speaking about how to find salvation, we have to take part. We have to be made with him, take part in his suffering, the suffering of the cross. The people did not want to hear this. Like I say, they just wanted more free Happy Meals. That's what they wanted. Their hopes were dashed. They wanted an earthly kingdom, an earthly ruler, and that took care of their earthly needs. But Christ, he came not for an earthly kingdom or earthly needs or to be an earthly ruler. He was offering them a heavenly kingdom, a heavenly throne, and to take care of their spiritual needs. He did not come to fill their stomachs. He came to fill that void that's in the human heart. He came to be the Lamb of God, to be the Savior of the world. He came to save the people from their sins. Those thousands of people that he fed and they followed him around, well, they begin to break away from him. They begin to turn from him. They wander off. They go home. Because he was teaching a message they didn't want to hear. He was not the Messiah they wanted. They said, "It's a hard saying." That doesn't mean they could not understand it. They did understand it. But their hopes and their goals were not what Christ was going to do. It's not like a math teacher explaining algebra to a classroom of glassy-eyed kids that are just, you know, blank stare on their face. Yes, X is a letter. You know, I always feel sorry for algebra teachers above all other teachers, I think, trying to teach that and get those concepts into a little kid. This is more like the store manager. I tried to think of a good example. Forgive me, this isn't perfect, but this is kind of like the store manager coming out on Black Friday and telling out all the people, sorry, we're out of those cheap TVs everybody was lined up for. There are going to be a lot of disappointed people, and they were mad. Even his closest disciples were affected. We talk about the tears of Christ at the graveside of Lazarus. We talk about the agony of the Garden of Gethsemane. But to me, I think the most heart-wrenching words that Christ ever spoke are there in verse 67 when he looks at his disciples, his friends, and he asks, will ye also go away? Simon Peter, always the one to open his mouth first, for good or bad, he speaks up, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now I want to focus on that first question he asked. It's a rhetorical question, the kind that you're not supposed to answer because you're making a point. But he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where else could these men go to find the way, the truth, and the life? Where else could they turn to find the Word made flesh and dwelling among them? Where else could they turn and find the Rock of Ages walking this earth? Nowhere. Absolutely nowhere but in Jesus Christ. Some rejected Christ. They sought answers in hope and peace in other places. Some had their faith tested, but they remained faithful to Christ. They all had a choice to make at this moment. Do they follow Christ or do they seek another? We face the same dilemma in our lives. In fact, I think we face it many times each day. I looked up, you think, well, we don't make a lot of choices. I looked up, and according to one psychology article, I think it was 30,000 choices they say you make a day. Almost every second or two you make, I think it's every 2 seconds, you make some sort of decision. How far to move your hand? Do you do this? Do you say that? How many times do you brush your teeth this way? Do you eat this? Do you not eat this? It's crazy to think of all the choices that you make in the course of a day. But the greatest choice we can face, and like I said, I think we face it many times a day, is do we follow Christ or do we follow another? Do we follow his truth or do we reject it? It's no secret. No, I'm not revealing something that's unknown to us. This is one of the oldest truths I think you can find in Scripture, is that we know what we're supposed to do. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It says, choose to follow, choose to trust in God, and lean not into thine own understanding. Don't trust your own mind and your own will and your own heart, but follow and trust in God. Often, though, if we are honest, we choose to look in the wrong places, even though we know better. I'm speaking as a believer. There's oftentimes we know what the truth is. We know where to go, but we choose to go a different way, and we wonder why things don't work out so well. I thought about it, and some today go to science for answers. Some people treat science like a religion, and it is to some folks. Some folks, it is definitely a religion. They think that human trial and error in theory has just figured everything out there is to know. Well, they say that we just happen to survive transitioning from tadpoles, monkeys, and apes, and even though there's no physical evidence for any of that, by the way, they're still digging up trying to find those transitionary fossils. You know, some dogs are big, some are small, some have long ears, some have long tails, but there's no such thing as a half dog, half cat. It does not exist. Species shift by breeding, but they do not become new species. They'll tell us, well, you're ignorant, you're a fool, you're some kind of country bumpkin because you don't believe in these great scientific theories that all these so-called brilliant people have, these godless theories. I would reply, well, you mean like believing that nowhere there was nothing that became something somewhere, and that lifeless molecules just happened together into a living organism that just happened to survive and just happened to reproduce with a mate it just happened to find, and their offspring just happened to slowly change into another something over the course of countless eons, but just happened to not leave any fossil evidence that it existed, as it just happened to develop beneficial upgrades until it just happened to become a human being? There's a book title out there I like, said, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. If you really think about what it takes for the evolutionary process to work, it is absurd. It is absurd. That's the science you want to trust in. Science that breaks its own laws, which state that things, by the way, the laws of thermodynamics say that things go from a order into disorder. We things fall apart. Things don't get better in this life. But that's not what we see. This whole evolutionary process, these things, it breaks it all. It breaks all these rules. It breaks all this development that there is. Don't get me wrong. I love true science. I love true science. The study of God's creation, the use and applications of these building blocks and elements that he gave us, it's fascinating. By the way, many of the greatest scientific minds of this world have been staunch believers. Not just casual, but guys like Isaac Newton, Louis Pasteur, Lord Kelvin, you can go on and on, some of the most brilliant minds this world has ever seen. They didn't discover things because they were rejecting truth. They found it because they were studying out and marveling at God's creation. But this godless science is peddled today. By the way, it's hopeless. It's empty. Who are you? Oh, I don't know. I came from something, and I don't know what I am. Where are you going? I don't know. But so many people try to find meaning in this stuff. Do not turn to it for answers. It does not have the words of life. It does not give rest to the weary soul. In fact, I think it creates more anxiety because it leaves you without a purpose, without a grander reason that you exist and live. Some go to politics for their answers. And I think I feel sorriest for these folks, these poor, foolish souls. If the history of human government tells us anything, it is that you should not place a lot of faith in human government. Every election cycle, you get a new Messiah. Think about that. Every 4 years. Here's the person that's just going to save your world. Every election cycle, you get told what the new truth is. If that truth proves inconvenient the next time around, you just replace it with a new truth. There's nothing solid, eternal in this. There's never any peace because they always need to work you up to keep you voting for them. Think about it. If they actually did their jobs, they wouldn't have a job. Think about it. Frankly, I am enjoying a lot of the things going on right now. I like this going after the government waste and stuff like that. I'm really enjoying the spotlight. By the way, the light comes on, the rats run. You know, it's the roaches run. I think you kind of see some of that going on right now. I'm enjoying that. But do I find meaning in life in a political party? Absolutely not. Can you find peace in any political system? Absolutely not. It will not, it cannot satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. That's not where we find hope. It's not where we find purpose. It's not where we find identity. Some today, they turn to amusements. By the way, the word amusement, amuse, means no. Amuse means think. It means do not think. That's what an amusement is. I do not think this is as much for answers that people are searching for, but they just want to kind of drug themselves and numb themselves to the big questions and the responsibilities and the cares of this world. They just want to turn it all off and have some fun for a little bit. We spend as a nation billions of dollars on trivial items and experiences. Now, again, I'm not against having fun. There is a time and a place to have a good time. Sometimes you need a break. Sometimes you need to relax sometimes you need to get away, have a good laugh, get away from the cares, unplug for a little bit. I get that. But that needs to be a short period of time because we have a life. We have responsibilities. By the way, I'll just rant for a second. I'm sorry. This is one of my more rant sermons, okay? I don't understand this Disney World culture. My Facebook and things think I like that, and I can't stand it because I keep going back. I don't want to see this. Don't want to see this. Grown adults spend thousands of dollars to visit a place to ignore the rest of their life. And it's all fake. It's all plastic. It's all... I don't understand the appeal of that at all. You should not define yourself by your fandom. That's a word for the younger folks, I know. But by the movies you like, the books you like, the sports teams that you follow. That should not define your life. You see these cars going around, drive by, and they'll have, you know, 50 Japanese stickers all over them. And they define their life because they like Japanese cartoons. Some people, it's sports. Some people, it's politics. But these kind of things that you follow, this is not who you are. These may provide some temporary happiness, a temporary retreat, but they give no lasting joy. It's a Happy Meal. That's why it's called a Happy Meal at Walmart. It makes McDonald's because it makes your kid happy for 5 minutes. And then they're done, they've moved on. It brings no lasting joy. This stuff is fool's gold. It's pretty, it's shiny, but it is worthless. It is worthless. Some turn to psychology and self-help. And again, got to be careful here. I think there's value in these things. Sometimes they do provide very meaningful help. The problem comes when all of that is substituted for the truth. I can just about guarantee you it's not your mama's fault. I can just about guarantee you it's not your daddy's fault. You ready for this? You sitting down? You are a sinner. You are broken. You need salvation. It's a personal problem that you have. You know what the solution is? We need Jesus. We need Jesus. Some turn to themselves for help. They'll think, well, I'll be strong. I'll be self-reliant. I'll pull myself up by my bootstraps. You know, no one's going to stop me. They want to follow their own heart. And by the way, that's the absolute worst thing you can do is follow your own heart and your own instincts. It's like taking your hands off the steering wheel and just letting the car drive itself. That's the disaster that is waiting for your life. We need something greater than ourselves. Something bigger than ourselves, like the song that Carrie was playing, to base our lives on and to trust to navigate our life. Some will turn to drugs, legal and illegal. Again, this is kind of that numbing aspect. Like, I don't even want to worry about things. I'm just going to tune out from this world. Again, I'm all for the proper use of medications. I'm not saying that. But it is ridiculous the number of pills that are peddled today. You ever looked at the stats of how many more pills are sold in America versus any other part of the world? We're supposed to be the richest, happiest, most peaceful place on earth, and all these studies, and we live in the best country. So many things going for us, and yet so many people are so miserable they cannot exist without the help of medication. You know, it's crazy. You're not happy. You don't feel good. Well, there's a pill for that. Like I say, you're sick. I get it. Take a pill. Get better. But you can't control your appetite. Here's a pill for that. Are you shy? I remember way back when they had pills for social anxiety disorder. Like, oh, you don't like talking to people? I'm like, yes, I don't like talking to people. Here's a pill for you. So if you're shy, there's a pill for that. There's pills for everything, it seems like. If there's not a pill, there's something else you get addicted to. How many folks are addicted to alcohol? How many folks are addicted to nicotine? Now, I'll even go a step further than that. I'm going to step on my own toes here. How many people are addicted to caffeine? I'm sorry. Yeah, I won't say Dr. Pepper. But how many people, just that little boost, they're addicted. They're addicted to it. You know, the answer that we need in this life is not some bottle you pick up at Walmart or Renshaw. The answers we need are in the Bible, not in a bottle. Where do you turn to when the bottom falls out on your life? Where do you turn to? When you get the call that a loved one has tragically, suddenly, unexpectedly passed away. Pills don't prevent that. Psychology doesn't prevent that. It happened. It's real. You've been there. Where do you turn to when the doctor comes in and says, I have some bad news for you. It's cancer. You know, these past few months, they've been hard on a lot of us. But the one thing I keep hearing is this statement. I don't know how people make it without the Lord. Who else can you go to? Who else can you run to for refuge and peace? Who do you seek advice from when you do not know what to do? Do you listen to some celebrity on TikTok or something that tells you, oh, here's the secret to happiness? I hope none of you are that stupid. I have a lot better respect for y'all than that. Do you just trust your luck and your own gut? Why not turn to the God who made us, who loves us, who cares for us? Why not open his owner's manual that he gave us? I don't know how to... We were back there fighting with the stuff. You know what? I was on a support website, you know, for that little software, that stuff. What do you do if it's doing this? It didn't help us, but that's supposed to be the guidebook to tell you what to do, how to troubleshoot. Listen, there's nothing you can face in this world that there's not guidance for you in this book. It is still 2,000-3,000 years old, and it's still relevant for us today. Who else can you go to? Who else has the words of eternal life? Psychologists don't. Politicians don't. Who else is the great shepherd that lovingly leads us along? A lot of your sports heroes, they wouldn't care. They don't care. As long as you keep buying their jerseys and their tickets. Dallas Mavericks just ticked everybody off. You know what? They don't care because they're still people are still going to buy jerseys. People are still going to buy tickets. Jerry Jones, that's how he operates, okay? Do they care about you? No. They don't. What else can bring peace in the storms of life? You can escape it a little while, go watch a movie. You can escape it a while, go get drunk or something. But does that really bring peace? What else can bring rest to a weary soul? Who else can wash away our scarlet sins until they are whiter than snow? Who else hears every prayer, sees every tear, and knows every heartache? Who else promises to never forsake us, even in the darkest of valleys? Who else is preparing a place for us to dwell with us forevermore? Simon Peter had the right answer. Simon Peter asked the question, and he answered it right. I hope you know that same answer that he did. Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are you going to turn? Where are you going to run to? Where are you going to hide from the storms of life? When your world's caving in, where are you going to run for refuge? Peter said, thou, Christ, hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Where else can we go but to him? As musicians come, three quick things. First off, be prepared. Be prepared. Stay close to Christ. So when that day comes and you need to reach out to him, it's not very far to reach. I like when the story about Simon Peter walking on the water, and we like to give him a hard time about him, you know, taking his eyes off the Lord and falling down. But if you read very carefully, it says Jesus just reached down and grabbed him. He was right there next to the Savior. If you're going to fall, that's a good place to fall. Be right there close to him. Fill your mind with his promises and his truth before you need them. You know, a lot of people take their vitamins after they got sick instead of taking their vitamins before. And those vitamins might have helped you not get sick. We do a lot better job preventative. Fill your mind with the words of hope and peace and comfort before you need to hear them. Already have them in your mind and your heart. Second, be faithful. Hard times will come. Hard times will come. You can mark it down. Life will be going good for you, and suddenly you'll get blindsided. You may have a season of life where it seems like there is no hope. There is no light. Hard times will come. But we need to hold on tightly to the rock of ages. We need to find shelter and refuge in Him. Do not give up when it gets hard. Do not quit when times get hard. Know that He is still watching over us. He is still caring for us. By the way, He's still walking beside us. Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. He's walking with us. And last, turn to Him for salvation. A bit, a little bit more practical, I guess, in this sermon, but the biggest need every human being has is salvation. You can give somebody $1 million. That doesn't fix their problem. It creates more problems. You can give somebody everything they want, every trinket, every toy. Does that really help them? No, it doesn't. It makes a spoiled brat. You know what we need? We need help. Problem is, most people don't even realize the kind of help we need. And it's that sin problem we have, the brokenness we have. And you know who has the answer to that? Jesus Christ. There's no other place to turn. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto them, I am a way? No. A good way? No. He says, I am the way, singular, the truth and the life. He says, oh, I'm just one way to find God. There's many ways. No, He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way to find Him is coming through the cross. You won't find Him any other way. John 6:37, I love this promise. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You know, I could, right now, there's mechanisms to do it. I could get online. I could send an email. I could make a phone call. I could call up my U.S. senator. I could call the White House. Do you really think Mr. Trump is going to answer the phone when I call? You really think that the Cruz or any of the other guys, and some of them I like, some of them I don't, but do you think any of them really truly care about me as an individual? You know what they're going to do? They're going to ignore me. But what a promise it is that the great eternal God of this universe says, when you call me, when you come seeking me, I'm not going to cast you out. I'm not going to turn a deaf ear to you. I will be there for you. We need to come to Him for that greatest need of salvation. But it doesn't end there. For everything in our life, where else can we go? Where else can we go? How can we make it in this life? There's only one way to make it in this life, and that's walking hand in hand with Christ. Let it be a challenge and reminder to us, whatever we face, let's run to Him. Let's run to Him. Let's run to Him. What number there, Owen? 308 in the Baptist hymnal. If you want to sing along, we'll stand. We'll have a time of invitation this morning. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for this day. So good to see so many folks back with us. And Lord, all these hard times we've been having, the times of sickness, the times of loss, finances being tight, just so many worries, so many cares, so many burdens that we carry. I think it's a good reminder to us not to look at some of the ways other folks run to for help, but to run to You, to run to Your word, to run to Your love, to run to Your care, to run to our knees in prayer. Let's learn to run to You and rely on You, not just in the good times, not just in the bad times, but all the time. Let it be a challenge to us. And Lord, somebody here watching online doesn't know You. The ultimate answer to this life is in nothing short of Jesus Christ. May they find You. May they come. May they come forward. We can show them the scripture. Show them what it means to know Christ before it's too late. Challenge us, I pray, some simple thoughts here this morning. Challenge our hearts in this invitation time. I pray in the holy name.